All right. Well, we're in Revelation chapter 5 still. So you could, still with a smile. Open your Bibles there if you have that. Revelation chapter 5. And then we'll pray together. So why don't we do that now? Let's pray. Father in heaven, come and be our great help. Open our eyes to see the glories of you in Revelation chapter 5 this morning. And may our seeing result in changes on the inside and on the outside of us to more accurately reflect what we see of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we do this for reading? We've been reading the whole chapter, but we've done that now maybe three times, I don't know. So why don't we start reading in verse 6, so Revelation 5, 6. So if I could have some help, if one of you would serve your brothers and sisters by reading Revelation 5, 6 through 10, and then another of you would read 11 through the end of the chapter, that would be great. So who would read verses 6 through 10? Jason? And who would read 11 through the end of the chapter? Who would want to do that? All right, Dale. Yes.
And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth."
Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders of the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Mm-hmm.
So we talked last time about this picture, right? God Almighty's on the throne, and then there's four living creatures all around him. So front, back, left, and right. And then there's these 24 elders on thrones around them. And the Lamb, where's the Lamb? The Lamb's between the four living creatures and the throne. The Lamb's close to the throne. That's the picture. And then the Lamb goes to take the scroll that was in the Father's hand. Right? Who's worthy to take the scroll? There was none found. Do you remember? And then, here's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's conquered. We talked about that. So he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And so here it is now. He's just taken the scroll. And as soon as he does that, verse 8, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. In chapter 4, they've worshipped God Almighty on the throne. Now they're worshipping the Lamb. And remember we talked last time, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And then here's where we're starting today. And they sang a new song. This is the first time we hear of a song in this scene, right? Chapter 4 and chapter 5 are a scene together. We've heard what they've said before. Like, look at chapter 4, verse 8, right? The four living creatures, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy." And then chapter 4, verse 10, near the end of that verse. They cast their, these 24 elders fall down and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you." But right here, they fall down, the living creatures and the 24 elders, and this time they sing. They sing. And so, I just want to talk about singing, worship a little bit. So just follow me, okay? So is all singing worship? Is all singing worship? No. All singing's not worship. What distinguishes singing that's worship? What is it about some singing that makes it worship? So could be a young man worshiping his bride, right? Could mean a I don't know if this is done, but a Packers fan singing in worship of their team. Do Packers fans sing? I don't know. Is there any such thing? Would that be like an alma mater for a sports team? I don't know. But so what is it about singing that could make it worship?
The focus.
Focus. Tell me more.
Attitude, the heart of the person that's singing.
Where does the focus in the heart go?
To the one that's worshipped.
To the one that's worshipped. All right. Yes, and it's not quite there yet, though, right? Because I could sing a song. I could sing a song against my enemy. Mm-hmm. My focus would be there on that enemy, but that wouldn't be worship. So we have to add one more piece, at least, right? So it exalts. It lifts up. It says what's wonderful about the focus.
Praise.
Praise. Yeah. So the young man with his bride. Or the sports team, or the God, right? So all singing is not worship, but singing can be worship, but it is when the focus is on the object of the worship. I didn't plan to go here, but I'm going to. So are all the hymns or choruses we would sing in church worship, given what we just said?
No.
Which ones? Can you think of one that you enjoy that you would say, yeah, that's not worship in the same way? Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. It's a little less direct, right? Yeah, sometimes the focus is very directly on the object of on God, and sometimes
Amazing Grace is that way.
Amazing Grace.
I really love that song.
Yes, right. So there's God, and then there's His grace or His creation or right.
We make declarations,
great is your.
It's not focused at Him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I don't know. Hymns are trying to pop in my head. Go ahead.
But those are still worshipful because yeah. They take your attention from you to the God who gave you that grace.
Yes.
So you're not saying that they're not.
Yes. What I'm trying to say is that they're not all in the same direct focus. They're not as direct. Now, when you come to His grace or His creation or the things He's done for us, then we ought to be thinking of Him when we think of those things, right? Look at His creation. We ought to go, Creator! Not just stop singing about creation and let our mind just be there. Yeah. A hymn, something. Help me out. By and by, the... Yes, that's where I'm going. That's about what? It's about heaven to come, right? So we could get a little lost there if we sang about the wonders of heaven without singing about the God who's in heaven. And you could get lost there, right? So John Piper, my favorite preacher, wrote a little book called God is the Gospel to say that. And here's what he says. Would heaven be heaven if God isn't there? For a lot of Christians, without thinking, they'd say, well, I have been thinking about it that way, and I guess that's wrong, huh? So you see? So that would be the point, would be we always have to get from what we're singing about to the God who made or provides those things. And then it's worship. Then it's worship. So here's where I go next. I'm thinking, okay, saying versus singing. So what's the difference between reciting the words and singing the words? How does that change things for us? Okay, think of reciting the words versus singing the words. What does singing add to your worship? This is a subjective question. What do you feel?
Pleasure.
Yes, can you think why or what is it about singing that is different than reciting? Yeah. Uh-huh. It somehow engages us in a... engages us, yes?
It's a different part of the brain. You can have a stroke and not be able to talk.
But you can... Oh, really? Speak and sing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that singing is designed by God to engage our emotions, what Corby said, our affections, in a way that reciting may not. Larry?
I think about singing, we're talking music, and I think there's very few people on the planet that don't enjoy music, even if it's not Christian music.
Uh-huh.
About when an orchestra strikes up or a beautiful voice starts singing. Even for someone like myself, it's very limited.
Yeah.
In that particular area.
But you can appreciate it. Yeah.
More.
It stirs you.
And just does something to your spirit. So it's part of that us being God's creation. He created music. And it's all part of that package together that just lifts you to that next level of that higher sphere. So
yes.
That's important. Part of God's creation.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Anything you want to add about singing in worship?
Kind of like the Grand Canyon is to our eyes. Beautiful music.
Yeah, that's good, Greg. That's good. Renee?
There's a positive and negative of that. So I'm remembering Steve Manson used to say something about that music skips the brain and goes straight to our heart. It's the brain gate. And that can be both ways, emotion, I think that adds emotion, but also that means music's very powerful. And it can lead us in wrong places. So to make sure our music is leading us
right
to worship the right thing.
You're right. Singing, worship, music engages us right or wrong.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kevin and Brian work real hard to choose lyrics in church that the music pulls us along in the right direction. Yes. Because it's just as compelling, stirs us in the wrong direction if we let it.
With all this conversation makes me think of David and Saul. Saul would call David
on the harp. Yeah. Yeah. One more piece I wrote. I don't know. This has happened to me once, and I'm wondering if it's happened to you. There was a time for me. Why is singing and worship sometimes hard? Have you ever found that to be true for you? Where there you were with the congregation of God's people, your brothers and sisters, and you just found it so hard to sing. So I won't share mine first. I'm seeing some shakes of nods of your head. So if that was you and you'd like to share it, I'd like to hear it. I don't know if it's the same as mine or not. So what would it be for you? When has singing been sometimes hard?
When you're at a place in life where you find it's difficult to identify with the words that are in front of you.
And what might be a place in life like that? Can you make it more concrete for us?
Maybe you're called to rejoice in a time when you feel despair.
Yeah. Yeah. come into his presence with thanksgiving, you know, into his gates with praise, and you're just, boy, you're in a hard time, so you're having a great difficulty rejoicing. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Yeah.
I don't know, just being a parent and realizing that you had a hard week, and like you said, you know, the words aren't resonating when you're reading them, or you're just saying them, but as soon as you're saying them, it's like, I feel so much guilt because things feel so much better.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's how it feels with me sometimes. It's like, I could have done so much better than to go home to be hugged by my family, but I'm so sorry.
Yeah, to the kids, yeah. When I was depressed, yeah, candy.
Sometimes I can't sing because it makes me too emotional. Because I would see how it bombed out of them. And so before, it's like just
a fall. So then you stop singing because at least on the inside, maybe on the outside, you're crying. Uh-huh. But I'll bet they're worship tears.
Right?
Uh-huh. So in a way, that's really interesting. So you stopped singing, but you didn't stop worshiping. Actually, the singing led you to a place of very deep worship so that you started to feel so much emotion, you started to cry. Anybody else ever cry in worship? I do. Anybody else? Yeah. Usually it's singing. I don't often cry during a sermon, although I've heard, right, wonderful sermons that move me to worship, but I don't often cry during a sermon. I probably have come close, but singing for sure, yeah. When I was depressed, you know, I don't know how many years ago now, I was in my 30s, and I was depressed. I was seriously depressed for 2 years, and terrible, dark time in my life. And I remember coming to church often, and I just couldn't sing. Because the words, it's what you said, the words, I didn't believe them. It wasn't my experience in the moment. And so I have this, I don't know, you all have it too, right? We have kind of a hypocrite dial. And you just can't, like, you don't want to fake. This is before God. You don't want to fake. And so I remember hymnals, so we must have still been using hymnals. So I remember just looking at the words, and I couldn't sing it. I didn't like that I couldn't sing it. It didn't leave me better that I wasn't singing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe it would have been good for my heart to sing it. Maybe it would have helped move my heart, soften it. But I just felt like I'd be a hypocrite, and so I didn't sing. I would just stand with my family and read the words. Corby?
I was just thinking, as you were talking, it can be a form of preaching to yourself, too, though. You know, when you are not feeling like you're what you should be, but you know it.
Yeah.
You know, you see anyways.
Yes.
You know that I don't feel this way.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong either way.
No.
It can also be.
Yes.
Calling yourself.
Yes. Sometimes, maybe if your darkness isn't so deep, you can kind of pinch yourself and say, come on now, and go ahead and sing.
Right. Or I think about any of the examples people use regarding worship and song. So if you feel guilt, well, yeah, I feel guilt, but I know. I know what Jesus has been doing.
Uh-huh.
I know what's been done.
Yes. Of the truth.
Yes.
Right.
Or the fear.
Yeah.
Or about God.
Yes. It's good, Corby. James.
Can we worship God through our lament? And I feel like that term and that word, and even the emotions that come with it, is somewhat of a lost essence in the Western world. Mm-hmm. But in the East, the lament, this deep, just groaning, and just basically wallowing in your sorrow before God, can that be worshipful? Can you do that in a God-honoring way? Because God knows where you're at. He knows why you're not praising Him in that, in those words. But can you praise God in going to Him in this deep, sorrowful place,
mm-hmm,
and say, God, take this sorrow? Can that be worshipful?
Yeah. We see that in lots of, right, a fair number of the Psalms. the trick. So our sorrow can be so much about ourselves that we're worshiping us and our experience. We can't get beyond us to God. So it's not that our lament always would be worshiping. Sometimes it's you're just complaining in a way that never gets to God. So often in those psalms that do express lament, sometimes pretty passionately, right? Pretty, God, where are you? I'm going to say it this way because I'm not sure, but they often, I'm going to say often, I won't say always because I can't know for sure. They often end up back to God by the end of the psalm. And I think that's important in making lament worshipful, because if our lament doesn't get us to look, take our eyes away from us and our circumstances and look back to him, then we didn't get there yet. We didn't worship yet. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say before you even mentioned about depression, that when I went through a battle of depression too, and I'm a singer. I like to sing and hum and whistle, and the neighbors in the neighborhood would say, "I heard you over there whistling." But when I got in that place, I couldn't even find a melody. I would try to find songs. Somebody would say, "Lead us in a song," you know, because they always knew that I could do that. I could not even pull from my resources of songs. And when God set me free, the music came back. And it was like, and part of depression is that you don't have the energy for much of anything, especially conversing, you know. I mean, I knew God was there, and I would talk to him in the night when the stars were shining, and I was walking my dog at 3 a.m, but I couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. There was no singing. Mm-hmm. And when it came back, I knew that God had delivered me out of that depression, because then my heart had the joy and had the... could hear the melody. I hear it all the time. People hear me singing all the time again. And my boy gets crazy because he says, "Mom, you sing all the time." The thing is, but there's this spot that singing does for us and is in us, even when we don't sing good, you know, that when we're going through those really dark times, it's just like it's hard to find. Not that you can't still declare the word and those kind of things, but... you know, because that's when I read my word the most, because I, you know, it soothed me. It helped me to get my mind to him and my heart to him. But singing is a whole different dimension on how to relate to God.
That's good, Jewel. Thank you. Yes, Chuck.
It's hard to experience, joy when you're singing. And if you're not experiencing joy, then it would be hard to die.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. The last thing I wanted to say about singing is, I had a pastor years ago that would say he would use a hymnal as part of his quiet time with the Lord, and I certainly had never done that, and so I thought it's been many years since I've heard Barry say that, and. So recently, I have a little from a conference, Kevin, from Together for the Gospel. Back in, I have two of them, and they published the songs right in there. And some of them are choruses, very much like the ones we sing here, and others are some hymns like we sing here. Just great, like ones that just take you to God. And so I've been making it a habit as part of my time with the Lord in the morning to open that up and pick a different one every day. And what's interesting, I wonder if this fits you, it's early in the morning, so I actually don't sing out loud. But as I look at the words, if I know the melody, you can do that, right? You can kind of sing inside of you. Do you know what I mean? Is that weird or what? Like you sing, but you're not making any noise. And so I know the melody. And so I feel like I get all the benefits still of singing, even though there's no tone coming out, there's nothing coming out of my mouth. Does anybody else use a hymnal or choruses or anything like that in there? Yeah, Carol?
When my mother was dying, she wanted me to come and read the Bible to her. And I was looking for, I just, page and page, I couldn't find the right place. And then I I thought of hymns, and they're some of the most beautiful messages.
Yeah.
Such comfort. It was just,
so what did you do? Did you sing to her?
I read the hymns.
You read the hymns, and she knew the tune. And so it connected in that. I'll bet it, because she knew the tune, I'll bet it connected with her as a song would, even though you weren't singing it.
It's simple, and it's comforting.
Yeah.
And so it was good.
Yeah. Anybody else use a hymnal or songs as part of your devotion time with the Lord?
I use Pandora.
Use Pandora, sure.
Yeah. When I was in, that was one of the things I think that got me to be depressed was I moved to an area where there was no radio stations. And I had always lived where I could, in my car it was there, and at home it was there and all that. And I got there and it would tell the weather in California for this place, but when you got there you couldn't get the station.
Oh.
That made no sense.
Oh.
But I'm one of those people that I wake up in the night with a song, and I like having music on that lifts me up, and I can't even listen to something else. If I listen to something else, then I'm singing that. The other day I wake up in the morning with a joy and a song. And so when I wake up, I hear that other song and it infuriates me. So, but I use Pandora every morning. I get up and I put that on before I go into my prayer time and my Bible reading, because it brings me to that,
yes,
that worship, that spot of making first thing first, you know.
Wonderful.
So, and I get frustrated when I hear anything.
Because it gets in your head.
Yeah. In my head, and that's
good. Great. Lisa?
My boys especially, every night when we pray together as a family, and then they say, Mama, sing. And, like, the older hymn, like, from, like, my grandma was little, that I know the better for them. And as many verses as I can remember. Mm. And so I almost need to, like, prep for singing to them.
Yeah.
Because they love the old
Do
stuff.
They?
The older, and it...
They probably love it because you like it.
Yeah, to sleep.
Yeah.
And, but it causes him problems because when I'm out of town, then they want Daddy to sing. He didn't grow up in the church like I did, so...
Break out a hymnal, pal.
Not quite as calming.
He said it's not quite as calming when he sings. Yeah, calm mom. Yeah. Where's that sweet sound, Dad? Yes. The point that I wanted to say isn't about hymns or more modern worship songs. I'm really not trying to make any point about that at all. But I am trying to encourage you to use songs as part of your devotion to God, both here at church when you're here. Like, try to say to yourself, come on now, engage, we're singing. So sing with your whole heart. And then even at home when you're just in your own devotions, you might think about, yeah, maybe I should break out a little. You know, you could print out some words off the internet, you know, as lyrics for anything that you know or that we sing in church. You could easily just print out or bring it up on your phone or whatever was convenient to you. Larry.
You know that we all go through challenging times in life, and we've all been there where something happens in our life or circumstances that the last thing we feel like doing is singing. Verses and voice come to mind for me that have been comforting in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. So we do not know how to pray as we should. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's so comforting to me as a Christian, knowing that I have God's Holy Spirit indwelling me. And He's there to help us. And in our humanness, our sinfulness, there's times we just don't know what to say. We don't feel like maybe getting spiritual. But it's comforting to know that because we have God's Holy Spirit indwelling us, He still intercedes for us. And if we're really, whether it's prayer or singing, it's a matter of the heart. If we're really saying, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I'm at a loss of words. I don't feel like doing this, but I want to do the right thing. I want to be helped by you.
Amen. Amen.
According to God's Word, we're playing that promise. He's there too.
Yeah, very good. Well, I didn't think we'd spend 30 minutes on that, but that was rich. Thank you. I think it was great. So let's go to the text now. They sang, so chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." So just go through with me in some observation, okay? So there, he's worthy of what? Why is he worthy? To take this, worthy to take the scroll, yeah? And to open the seals. We've seen that three times in this chapter. Must be really important to open the scroll and the seals. Remember that stood for God's unfolding plan of redemption and judgment. Really important that that take place. Why are the worshipers singing that the Lamb is worthy? What reason do they give for his worthiness? It's there. What do you see?
Slain in his blood.
Yes.
For you. Ransomed people.
Yes. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Ransomed them for God, but from who or what? It doesn't say, but let's answer it. Ransomed them from, how would you answer?
Death.
From death?
Separation.
Separation from God?
The wrath
of God? From their sins? Right? Those are all ways to say it. So being ransomed means that you were captive somewhere. You needed to be bought out. Right? You deserved this. And so our sins, the wrath of God, death, yes. And then it says it ransomed them for God. What does that mean? He ransomed them for God. Add some words to that. What does that mean? Why does it say that?
Because God wanted them.
He wanted them.
Delivered them back to God.
Yeah, back to God. I thought of for God's pleasure, for God's plan, ransom them for God, for his glory. What is significant about the Lamb ransoming people from every tribe and language and people and nation? What's significant from every tribe, language, people, and nation? What should we notice about that? What's important there?
Anybody.
Anybody.
I mean, anybody can be saved.
Yes.
They have to want to. But, I mean, it's every tribe and nation. Everybody's going to hear.
Uh-huh. So we don't have to be, we don't have to have, be an ethnic Jew to be ransomed? I thought, so just come with me, go with me, okay? I'm going to poke a little. Well, I thought that that the people of Israel, Abraham's offspring, were the chosen people of God. And you would answer?
They said no, because Abraham, because, I mean, Christ was before him.
Yes, yes.
He was always.
Yes. So we get here to the, right, to the last book of the Bible, and we see clearly you don't have to be a Jew to be ransomed from your sins. You don't have to be an American, right? You don't have, you can be, your country could be Muslim, Pakistan, Hindu, India, right? And you could be ransomed. How about every? Ransom people from every. What does that mean? Are all people ransomed? So what's the every mean? It means that there's no people group left out. Somehow, what a miracle of grace. Somehow, from every people group, you know, Pakistani, you know, people groups are even sub-nations. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not big on this, but the in like there's in the country of Turkey, there's different people and they fight, right? Because they're different people. They used to be have their own identity, and eventually the nation of Turkey swept them up. We have that in this country, right? Lots. So God's not saying just he's going to save one from the nation of Turkey. He's going to get to their peoples and language. And that's why I think that's the significance of him naming those four different things, right? From every tribe and language and people and nation. You ought not to think nation states, country, you know, nationalism. It is nationalism, but it's beyond that too. God is not just the God of the USA, but not of Iran. No, he's the God of Iran too, and he'll save some Iranians. This goes all the way back to Abraham. I won't have us turn there, but in Genesis 12, when God called Abraham out from his country and said, go to a land that I'll show you, he said that in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's the beginning of this, right? All the families of the earth will be blessed in you. Through, I think, two things, giving the scriptures, the New Testament would say that the oracles of God, in Romans it's clear about that. And secondly, through the giving of the Messiah. Comes out of the lineage of Abraham. That's how through Abraham all the nations will be blessed. Because the Messiah comes from Abraham to all the nations. Abram, someday one of your descendants, God might say, will be the Savior, the suffering Savior that I will send to save his people from their sins. That's the greatest way that Abram will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. We already answered, is every person in every tribe ransomed? No, but some people from every tribe are ransomed. Okay, we're going to stop there. Looking at the time and my notes, and I want to talk about what kingdom means. Ransom them to be a kingdom and priests. So I want to talk about those. And I have about most of a page, so I think it's worth saving that rather than just doing it in 30 seconds. We don't always do this, but anything you want to pray about? Is there something that one of you goes, yeah? No, anything you want to pray about? Yeah.
My son's been having pains in one side of his stomach for, it's been 2 weeks now.
Okay.
And he's gone to the doctor, and they've tried testing him for all kinds of things, and they finally think that he has just a real severe pulled muscle on one side, but he's still in a lot of pain, and I just know that God wants to heal him, but he's just like, he's suffering, and it needs to be, you know, it needs to be relieved, so he can go back to school.
Okay. How old is he?
He's 13.
Oh, this is Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
I just have a praise that I thank everybody for all the prayers that Alice
Amen.
Has shown him to be cancer-free now. So.
Yeah, did you hear that? So Al's gone through a lot of treatment and looks a little white still today. And they had a test on
PET scan
and on Friday, and the clinician said that it looked really good. It looked like he was free. He's meeting with the doctor this week, you said, right? To hear that officially. So praise the Lord. So, but obviously the treatments took a lot out of him. So let's be praying for God to re-strengthen our brother. Yep. All right, let's pray together. Father, we pray for Jules' son that you would help him. He's got some pain in his side and it's interfered with his schooling. And God, I pray that you would, if there's some stretches or, I don't know, diet, God, I pray that you'd bring those things to Jules' attention and help Isaiah to do that. God, take care of that young man. And we thank you for Al. God, we're rejoicing that you saw fit, at least for now, to clear him of his cancer. Praise you, Lord. God, and we pray that you'd strengthen him. We pray for Dell. God, thank you that it's good to see him on this little scooter. God, I pray that you'd be giving him his strength and mobility back soon. God, there's others of us and ones we love. God, would you come and be a great Savior to them? May you heal their bodies, and even more, would you bring great joy and salvation to their souls. Thank you for being our God. Thank you that we can sing your praise. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.